Welcome to Package, the official podcast of the Liquor Stores Association of Western Australia. Your host today, Peter Kapsanis.
Welcome to another edition of the best podcast on all things liquor, Packaged, where we bring you the extraordinary tales from the independent liquor industry. Today, we plan on delving deep into the roots of popular outlet Copper and Oak, which this year is celebrating its 20th anniversary and can also lay claim to the WA Employee of the Year in Guy Southern. Guy has been working in the FMCG space for 25 years, and it's no surprise he won the accolade at the LSA's Liquor Industry Awards in October. Joining me in the studio is Guy, along with Copper and Oak founder Josie Pestana. Gentlemen, welcome to the show.
Welcome.
Thanks for having us. Yep.
Guy, we'll start with you. You are the 2023 Inaugural Employee of the Year Award winner. It was a proud moment for you, wasn't it? What does it mean for you?
Oh, look, it's lovely recognition. Quite humbling, but I've been doing a lot of work in the liquor and beer industry in the background of a lot of things for some time, and lovely accolade. I'd also like to just say thanks to the other nominees, because there was a strong field on the night, and yeah, it was great to collect the award.
Tell me about your background. You worked in supermarkets for a while.
Correct. Had a long-standing career in supermarkets. Used to put 1 litre Coke bottles on the shelf back in the 90s, and then work my way through stores, multi-site supervision development roles, training roles, and HR. And then Christmas 2015, decided that I wanted to do something else, not knowing exactly what that was. But at that point, I'd been old school blogging about beer and had been quite involved in the beer WA brewing community, and just followed that passion, basically, and ended up doing a lot of consulting work, writing for Crafty Pint, so a beer publication, doing a lot on Insta, and from there, I guess, followed my nose, or followed the beer glass. Then we roll into, I guess, the first little wave of COVID. And I'm sitting at home with my two kids and not doing a whole lot of writing about beer and working in the community, because everything is shut down. And I got a tap on the shoulder to do one Tuesday night shift for 4 hours. And that was 3.5 years ago.
And the rest is history. And Josie's laughing because the 1 4-hour shift turned into something else.
So yeah, we'll it hasn't stopped.
It was the 4-hour shift I'm giggling about.
What are you saying? It wasn't his best effort?
Oh, there was 4 pallets at the back ready to go, and there was more coming in. And yeah, and Guy walked in, and I went, yeah, sure. Yeah, let's see how we go with these 4 hours.
And, I think the first question was, can he lift anything? Because Josie knew me as a writer, I guess, right. And someone involved in the community, but didn't know my background in food retail.
In the retail space.
Yeah.
So my next question was going to be, was it a natural progression for you to go from retail supermarket into retail liquor?
It definitely wasn't the plan. I think this came about by chance. But it speaks to the things that I love doing. I love connecting awesome customers with awesome products. I love being that middle ground. And I think, Peter, you and I talked about that kind of connective tissue. But it wouldn't matter what I do. I'm passionate about this space.
I was going to say, sorry to interrupt.
Yeah.
You strike me as a student of the industry.
Yeah.
You're really passionate and really get into it.
Yeah, I'm curious about people. I'm curious about why they do things, and to be in an independent family-owned retailer with a lot of flexibility to carry a range of different products, go and find stuff, and bring that to the shop and say, "Hey, boys, Josie and Nelia, what about this?" And then be able to literally meet the producer, get the stock in the store, and then be able to talk to our customers about it. That's just magic dust. Love it.
Magic dust. There you go. Right, maybe you can drink it.
Yeah, magic liquid, definitely.
I'm sure there's a hazy out there called that.
JC, it's a milestone year for you, as I said in my intro, for you and your family. 20 years of Copper and Oak, but the journey started, judging by your accent, in South Africa. What led to the move from South Africa to Perth?
There's a lot of background history. Starting in the liquor industry, obviously, in South Africa, it's there's a lot of challenges happening in that country, as a lot of people probably be aware of. And I kind of looked at the numbers and I went, well, I'm 30 years old, and being fortunate that I could actually start my own retail business at 20 years old with a lot of backing from my mum. And I went, well, if I got to redo this again, I've got to do it on 30. I look at a lot of people that have done migration, you know, married, two kids, wife, and you've got two responsibilities, and, you know, if your partner gets a job, that's fine. But yeah, I just looked at it and went, no, if I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it now. So pretty much sold everything, to my older brother back in South Africa. Everything else I had, cashed it up, and yeah, came to Perth. And well, I actually had to pick between two states. It was going to be New South Wales or Perth, and picked up Perth just from a cost perspective. It was just obviously getting better ROI and going to New South Wales. And yeah, came to Perth and went, yeah, let's give it a crack.
So was there any anxiety moving over here? What, any challenges you faced setting up? I mean, did you have a site in mind? Because you had done a bit of touring and traveling here prior, but so you make the move here. What do you do next?
Well, I'd actually come out the year prior because I was kind of doing the whole look-see and decide touring thing. So, like I said, did New South Wales, then I did Perth. I did have family in both states that I could sort of, you know, piggyback accommodation. And, the anxiety thing, not really. I don't know. I think I look at challenges and I just go, yeah, okay, let's see what that's going to do. I think the anxiety thing, I think I've probably only ever, to my experience that once. And I kind of looked at it, assessed it, and I went, yep, no, that's not going to happen. Get over that and just work. But actually moving over and doing it, and I'd made up my mind. I got back to South Africa and I called a meeting with all my business partners. I said, look, this is the plan. This is what I'm going to do. I did a fire sale. I said, look, if I can get everything cashed in now, everything is done on a one-to-one. So if you kind of look at your business, most businesses sold at whatever, two and a half, 3.5 times. And I said, look, I need it now, and I want to do it now. And came over. But like I said, I was out the year before and looked around, and I'd actually seen Tuart Hill because it was on the market already. And I went, yeah, there's no ways I'm stepping into that. And came out the following year and, you know, ready to look and have a proper delve into it, and looked at quite a few stores and looked at their numbers. And the biggest issue I had was there wasn't going to be much left in the tank if I bought a lot of these other better performing stores. So you kind of need a bit more to sort of renovate it and put your own little
touch
to it and let people know that there's a new manager in there. And kind of looked at the numbers again and went back to Vic at Tuart Hill and went, hey, is this still happening?
Right. Okay. So Tuart Hill, you'd eyed it off, cooled off, and then went back, and the rest is history, as they say.
Yep.
And we'll talk about Guildford as well shortly, but let me ask you. So in the last 20 years, what kind of experience can people expect to have when they walk into a Copper and Oak store?
Very different to most retail stores. I mean, I'd imagine it would be very similar to some of the, you know, top end independents there. You know, you get greeted. That's probably the first thing that changes. A lot of people get surprised. I'm like, okay.
So I walk into the store.
Yep.
Are you lurking behind the counter, or do you literally go out of your way to say g'day?
Oh, the minute somebody walks in the store, it's like, good afternoon. How are you going? How's your day? You know, we try and avoid the, hey, how are you going? You know, what are you looking for? It's always the, hey, going? How's it going? Can we show you around? And people immediately are like, oh, this is more of a welcoming sort of feeling than it is a tick in the box and greeting people. So that, and it's not for any other reason, but, you know, if anyone's walking in, whether they're having a good day or a bad day, the minute they walk in, it's like, oh, this place has got a good feeling. And that's what we were about.
That's probably really reflective of the range that's carried as well across both shops. You know, like we're celebrating a lot of independent producers. We're celebrating a lot of different producers, and a lot of customers coming in would go, this is a bit of an Aladdin's cave here. We don't kind of know what's going on. So to be able to set the scene and walk in, see a smiley face, see someone that's actually interested that you've come to visit, you know, Tuart Hill or Guildford, Copper and Oak, just sets the scene. We want people to have fun, discover new things, pick up old favourites, and leave on their way out the door knowing that they're spending their money in a shop with people that actually care about the liquor industry and care about them as customers.
We talk about range, local beer, wine, spirits. Yep. Are you focused on that?
In a big way, yeah. And it's exactly what Guy actually mentioned. It's once we find a product that we connect with, because it's either the producer or the importer of it, and you know, they give us the whole background story, and I immediately start looking at and listening to what they're actually telling us, and I go, oh, we connect to this, I can really connect other customers to it, and it just gets bigger because we fall in love with a lot of these other products, and whether that be beer, wine, spirits, it's pretty much, there's a very big focus in giving a lot of the local guys our attention. We are very fortunate that WA produces their own wine, so it naturally is a big fit. But the biggest thing is, you know, we're one of the, you know, top beer crop producers in Australia, so it kind of makes sense giving that one all the attention we can. And spirits are definitely getting there. It's a very long road for spirits, but that's where we're about. You know, when people walk in and we're going, hey, let's show you around, and people are like, oh no, I'm just coming for a bottle of wine. I'm like, yeah, not a problem. It's more about of a tour guide and going, well, we've got this. This is what you're looking for, but, you know, consider this. It's not just about you moving the units for them.
And Guildford, let's talk about Guildford. You've this year you've opened Guildford, is that right?
Last year. So Guildford, we're there a year. So, okay. And again, that was just a turn of fate, really. Somebody we knew was actually buying the whole freehold, which came with the liquor store, and it was a package deal. I actually saw it and just went, yeah, well, that's not for me, and there's no ways I can get both. And he phoned me up and goes, oh, this deal's just come through, and the liquor store's part of it, I don't want to be part of it, so do you want to buy that off me? And we were like, okay, sure.
So in June there was no notion of a store in Guildford, and by August there was paperwork signed.
Right.
Yeah, so it happened quickly.
Yeah, very, very quickly.
It's an amazing community in Guildford. And not only just the Guildford community, but you've got the Hills community there. It's at the start of the Swan Valley, Australia's second oldest wine region. You know, the building itself was a bond store for the original Swan Valley colony. And that dates back to 1854, I think. So awesome, like red brick building. And to think about the heritage there, you know, that bond store has held alcohol in some shape or form for nearly all that time. Great history there with the Dineen family, the previous owners that had done a lot for wine in Western Australia. And, you know, Alan Dineen was very well respected in the wine community. It's lovely that we are able to pick up the baton and keep going. And I think a lot of the locals sort of there was some trepidation about renovation and new owners, but being an independent family-owned business, they quickly worked out that we actually care. We care about the products we retail, and we care about them as consumers and suppliers. And, you know, Josie and Nelio's renovation in there has been really tasteful to the old building, but it's got a modern touch in there. It's just a gorgeous space. So well worth checking it out if you're in the area.
Looking to summer. What are people going to be looking for? What are they going to be? How do you quench their thirst? What are they looking for, do you think, with Christmas and summer around the corner?
I'm going to jump in real quick here, and it's not related to Christmas or summer. I think the reason that there's this growth in mezcal and tequila is because people are looking for authenticity. They're looking for products that come from a sense of place, and they can have some fun with. So I think what we'll see over summer is, obviously, you know, all your volume stuff will sell through, but consumers are more active now. They're more educated. They want things that tell the story and that speaks to them. And they know that every dollar they spend is a dollar towards the future that they want in retail, for the most part. If you want big box, you know, retail and, you know, transactional, pick up a 30 pack of whatever, then that's cool. But a lot of consumers now are looking outside of that and going, well, you know, I want that. I want to get invested in tequila. I want to know a bit more about why this is what it is. But I guess coming back to the Christmas question, though, I don't know, the hard seltzer thing's still ticking along. The Bilsons thing is still, you know, skyrocketing. I don't know. What do you think, Jay?
Yeah, it's really hard to pick what people are going to do. But based on last Christmas, I think and this is going to sound like a pitch now, but it's the sessionability now. So I think people are looking for products that they can actually have an afternoon on. So you're finding these sort of more premium cocktails that are already bottled and ready to go. And you're finding that they're all sitting around those 5-6 percenters, and they're not sitting between those 9-10-12 percenters. And people are buying based on flavor. So they're going, oh, I really like a Negroni, or they like a you know, a margarita ready to go. And there's not many out there. There's a couple. And there's the, you know, in a can premix. But the guys that are doing the premium ones, I'm finding there's a lot of interest into it. On the beer perspective, it's 100% people are really looking and going, you know, I want to have a good afternoon. I'm not going to do a 4-pack of 6% IPA. I'll have that at home, but not necessarily a 4-pack, but just the 6%er. But they're definitely asking us, oh, what do you recommend that's in that, you know, anywhere between 2.5%, 3.5% that, you know, they can actually enjoy with flavor. So I'm finding more and more people are actually asking, you know, and again, coming through the pitch side of it, but the responsibility factor.
Yeah, definitely. And with drinkability with flavor that's at a moderate ABV. I'd also say, to a degree, some of the alternative varietals in wine. People have been through, you know, the Chardonnays, the Sim Savs, the, you know, they've done rosé all day, all that kind of thing. And what we've found, particularly the last few months, is the amount of people that have used their COVID travel credits, they've been off to Europe, they've been to Greece, they've been to Italy, they've tried different wines and got a really good sense of place, coming back in and asking for Albarino and other, you know, wine varieties.
Sirtiko, from Greece.
Yeah.
The amount of people asking
which
us
one?
For Sirtiko.
Oh, Sirtiko.
Yeah.
Sirtiko.
Okay.
There we go.
Yeah, there you go. We've got someone who can actually pronounce it.
Thank you.
But that again, speaks to authenticity, you know, like finding those producers that are making great examples of that locally, or finding importers that are bringing, you know, good quality products out. Yeah, I think it's not going to dominate, but this conversation wasn't happening a year ago.
Mm.
You know what I mean? And that to me is fascinating. It's infinitely interesting.
So, and who knows what's around the corner. Gentlemen, we are running out of time, but thanks so much for coming in. Guy Southern, LSA's inaugural Employee of the Year Award at Copper and Oak. Josie Pastana, thanks again. 20 years of Copper and Oak in WA. You know, it's a marvellous milestone. Congratulations to you both on the milestone and the achievements. And don't be a stranger. We're here and happy to share your stories and look forward to chatting again real soon. But between now and then, have a great Christmas and all the best for the new year.
You too. Merry Christmas.
You too. Ciao.